Chapter 8. Tram Fare. Though father sent us to expensive missionary schools, he and Yang instituted an austerity program to teach us the value of money. To begin with, we were given no pocket money whatsoever, not even the tram fare. We had nothing to wear except our school uniforms. Big sister and I were ordered to keep our haircuts short, straight, and old-fashioned. For my three brothers, it was much worse. Their heads were shaved bald in the style of Buddhist monks, and they were teased mercilessly by their peers. My school was 1.5 miles from home and situated immediately adjacent to Big Sister's. The number 8 tram ran directly from door to door. St. John's Academy was 3 miles away and could be reached by the same number 8 tram traveling in the opposite direction. When Ye Ye first arrived in Shanghai, we begged him for money and he gave us our tram fare to go to school. 2 months later, Ye Ye had spent all his money and he brought up the subject one evening. Dinner was almost over and everyone was eating fruit when Aunt Baba mentioned that she had decided to go back to work as a bank teller at Grand Aunt's bank. Grand Aunt was the highly successful younger sister of Ye Ye. Many years before, she had founded the Women's Bank of Shanghai and had become fabulously rich. This was probably Aunt Baba's way of reminding father that she and Ye Ye had run out of money for their daily needs. We were all holding our breath on their behalf. Father and Yang looked annoyed. "You don't need to work like a commoner," father said. "You have everything you need here. Besides, Ye Ye enjoys your companionship at home. If either of you need money, why don't you come to us and ask? I've told you both before that if I'm busy or in the office, all you have to do is to speak to Jean, Yang, here, and she'll give it to you." How is this possible? I asked myself. Where is Ye Ye's own money? Is he no longer head of our family? Why is he suddenly and mysteriously dependent on father and Yang for pocket money? It made me cringe to think of my gentle and dignified grandfather begging for pocket money from my haughty stepmother. "You are both so generous and employ so many servants that I find little I can do to help," Aunt Baba replied politely. "The children are away all day at school. Going out to work every day will get me out of the house and give me something to do." Father now appealed to Ye Ye. "What do you think? Won't you miss her?" "Let her work if that's what she enjoys," Ye Ye answered. "She likes to spend her salary on playing mahjong and buying treats for the children. By the way, I meant to mention this to you before. The children should be given a regular weekly allowance." "What for?" father asked, turning to us. "Hasn't everything been provided for you?" "Well, for one thing," replied Big Sister, speaking on behalf of all of us, "we need the tram fare daily to go to school." "Tram fare?" Yang interjected sharply. "Who told you you could ride the tram? Why can't you walk? Exercise is good for you." "It's so far to walk to St. John's. By the time we get there, it will be time to turn around and go home again," Big Brother said. "Nonsense," father exclaimed. "Walking is good for growing children like you." "I loathe walking," Big Brother grumbled, "especially first thing in the morning." "How dare you contradict your father?" Yang threatened. "If he orders you to walk to school, then it's your duty to obey him. Do you hear?" We were cowed into silence and looked towards Ye Ye, expecting him to come to our defense. But he kept his eyes on his plate and went on peeling his apple. Big Sister suddenly took the plunge. Yeye has always given us pocket money. We're used to going to school by tram. Nobody in my class walks to school. Most of my classmates are driven there in private cars. Niang became enraged. Your father works so hard to support everyone under this roof, she exclaimed in a loud, angry voice, shooting a quick glance at Yeye and Aunt Baba. How sneaky you all are to get money from Yeye without your father's knowledge. We send you to expensive schools so you'll grow up correctly. We certainly don't want you to be coddled into becoming idle layabouts. From now on, all of you are forbidden to go behind our backs to trouble Yeye or Aunt Baba for money. Do you hear? Though her remarks were addressed to us, they were obviously meant for Yeye and Aunt Baba as well. She paused briefly and then continued, We're not saying you're never to ride the tram again. We merely want you to acknowledge your errors in the past. Admit you've been wrong. Promise you'll change for the better. Come to us and apologize. Tell us from now on you will behave differently. We will only give you the tram fare if you are truly contrite. The room was completely still. The only sound I heard was that of Yeye chomping on his apple. Surely he was going to say something to put Niang in her place? The maids hustled around with hot, moist towels for us to wipe our fingers and mouths. Then Niang spoke again in a sugary tone, looking directly at Yeye with a smile. These tangerines are so juicy and sweet. Here, do have one. Let me peel it for you. At first, we were all mad. The whole tram fare issue was obviously tied up somehow with the establishment of a new hierarchy within our family. Now that Nai Nai was dead, was Niang going to take over? We told each other we would always be loyal to Yeye. If necessary, we intended to walk to school forever, or at least until graduation, to show our allegiance to him. 10 days later, I spotted Big Sister getting off the tram at the stop closest to our lane. Though she ignored me and I dared not say anything to her, she had obviously given in. My three brothers held out week after week. St. John's was so far from home. The weather turned cold and nasty. They were getting up in the dark and returning home exhausted. One after another, they gradually knuckled under. Though Yeye and Aunt Baba both kept urging me to go downstairs and beg for my tram fare, I just couldn't do it. Why? I hardly knew myself. Something to do with loyalty, fair play, and a sense of obligation. I did not discuss this with anyone, not even my Aunt Baba. I simply couldn't force myself to go to Niang and admit that I, and therefore my Yeye, had erred in the past. Besides, it just didn't seem right to betray him, especially when I had begged for the money from him in the first place. When the rains pelted down in sheets and gales howled through the streets, I would grit my teeth as I set about the seemingly endless journey along Avenue Joffre. Arriving drenched at the school gates, I tried not to look at my schoolmates stepping daintily out of rickshaws, pedicabs, and chauffeur-driven cars. I knew some of them laughed at me behind my back and whispered to each other that I took my own number 11 private tram to school daily, meaning that my legs carried me. On Sunday afternoons, Niang frequently called out for my siblings to come downstairs to her bedroom, which third brother had nicknamed the Holy of Holies, and pick up their tram fares. Hearing this, I'd feel a stab of anguish because I was the only one always excluded. Big sister sometimes came back upstairs to show off by laying her coins in a row on my bed and counting them aloud in front of me, one by one.